As a regular visitor to pubs, and I bet I'm not alone in this, I've sometimes wondered about the people behind the bar, especially the people who choose to take on what seems to me to be more a way of life than a full-time job. So today I'm talking to Sheila, who's a retired pub landlady. Sheila, how did you get into the business in the first place?
I married into it. Unfortunately, I fell in love with somebody whose pub it was, and that was me lumbered for the next 31 years.
So running a pub wasn't actually something you've always wanted
no,
to do?
No, it was accidental.
Must have been a bit of a shock then.
It was, Yes, I'd been working there on and off before I got married, but to live there and to do it from crack of dawn till the end of the night was a bit of a shock.
So what does running a pub actually involve?
Well, this is 1955, and in those days it's a lot different from now. And we had no central heating, so more or less the first thing I had to do in the winter was clear out and light five fires upstairs and down, and then polish a 20-foot counter, sweep and mop the floors, and then sit down and have my breakfast.
You didn't actually have at that point to shift any barrels or anything?
No, my husband was in charge of the cellar. I only went down there on very rare occasions when he was out and a barrel needed changing, but I wasn't terribly good at that.
So you were better behind the bar?
I was better behind the bar, yes.
So what was the atmosphere like in the two pubs? You've run two, haven't you?
Yes. Both in Hove. The first one, back in those days, was very much a family pub, backstreet pub. Very regular customers. We had sort of last of the summer wine chaps used to come in the mornings and discuss the price of sprouts and the general world situation, which they could put right immediately. And then we had a lot of corporation men in those days, the dustman, the road sweepers, the mortuary man, the mortuary assistant, the people that worked in Leighton Road on the fires used to come in at lunchtime. We were very busy. We had a barman and who was also a customer who used to work in Leighton Road on the fires, because we all say a lot of dustmen used to come in, and all the rubbish then was put on a belt and they picked out all the good bits and the rest of it went in the fires. And he worked incredibly hard. Remember when aerosols came in, and he came to work one Sunday morning and his face was completely burnt because an aerosol had exploded in his face. And it was, you know, it was so modern, an aerosol, you know, and they were dangerous. And really, workmen used to come in, bring their own food in those days. They used to bring their sandwiches, just buy a packet of crisps.
So you didn't actually do food in the pub?
Not a lot. We used to do Miller's pies, which were round and had sort of like a dome on them, and a few rolls and sandwiches, but nothing much.
So it really was a question of drinks?
Yes.
Was it a proper spit and sawdust bar with proper sawdust on the floor and that sort of thing?
Well, when my father-in-law took it over in 1951, there were spittoons round the counter. So that was quickly put right. And no, we didn't have sawdust. We had linoleum.
Linoleum, good heavens. That rather dates it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So would you say it was a community pub?
Yes, it was. It was very much a family pub. We used to have three or four very big families used to celebrate their birthdays and funerals. We did some super funerals, especially the Irish ones, and weddings. We used to do wedding receptions. Christmas and Easter were very big celebrations, and I think because people didn't have the things indoors that they have now, they used to come to the pub because it saved on electricity and fires and things and meet people. One thing I noticed, if a man swore in front of a woman, he apologised. Always, in front of me or the barmaids, always apologised. And beer was only a shilling a pint when I first went in. So you could get 20 pints of mild for a pound.
And were you tied to a brewery at that point?
Yes. We were tied to Tamplin's in those days, which was based in, I think it's Phoenix Place in Brighton, long gone. And then they were taken over by Watney's. And we were with them for about 15 years. And because they had a monopoly in the area, we were taken over by Courage.
So what was it like being controlled by these big brewers?
Well, it wasn't so bad in those days. We had some very nice people in the brewery who used to come round. If we had a darts league final or anything in the pub, they used to come and buy the pub a drink. You know, that used to cost about £3, really. And they used to take an interest in you and your family. It was all right. It changed towards the end when the almighty Watney's got hold of it. But
how did it change then?
Oh, it got much more corporate. It was very formal in those days, yes.
So that was the back street pub that you ran?
Yes.
And then you moved to another one, didn't you?
Yes, I moved to a bigger pub on an estate, which was lovely, but an entirely different atmosphere. Much younger clientele. And it was the 70s. So, of course, the 60s generation of swinging 60s were sort of shacked up or married or whatever with other people and producing sprogs. And it was a completely different atmosphere. The second pub was quite different. The women swore as well, so it was completely different. Mm.
Were you running that by yourself at that point? Or was your husband running it with you?
No, my husband and I were running it. Mm.
Did you have problems with violence, bad behaviour?
No, not a lot. No, we could sort things out if anything cropped up. We never had sort of guns or knives. We had a few shouting matches, families arguing with each other, but nothing like it is now. In fact, when we left there, we hadn't been gone long, and somebody broke a pool cue and took the nose off an opponent. So I was very glad we'd retired when we had.
Do you think there are any differences now?
Oh, yes. I think if you go into an ordinary pub now, they're nearly all gastro pubs anyway, but if you go into an ordinary pub, everything's changed. The pumps are different on the bar. You're expected to stand up more. It's not quite so homely as it used to be, I don't think.
So these gastro pubs, do you think they're a good idea?
Having had young grandchildren, yes, because now you can take children into the pub, which I think is great. I'd have hated it when I was the landlady because I don't think I could have coped with children, but it's quite handy now.
What do you think the key qualities are that you need to run a pub properly?
Stamina, I think the first thing. I think you've got to be interested in people because you, in those days, you became very involved with all the families and deaths and marriages and births, rows, you know, sort of things that went on in the family, and you had to be interested in them. I'm a bit patient with them as well.
Why do you think so many pubs are closing down now?
Well, I think the breweries have priced them out to a great extent. They charge in a huge rent, tie them to their beer, and don't give them a chance to diversify. I think it's too expensive to go into a pub and drink all night now.
Do you think pubs are as welcoming to older people as they used to be?
Some pubs are. The one or two I know that have tenants or free houses owned by the licensee, yes, they are. But a lot of the others, you're just really a person supplying money, you know.
And that's what's behind some of these two-for-one offers or
yes.
pensioners' offers on Tuesdays yes. and things. You don't think they're really welcoming older people?
No, I think it's a money-spinning thing. Mm.
Would you want to run a pub now?
No way. No, I was very glad we retired when we did. Mm. A lot of good times. Christmas Eve, we needed elastic walls because we had the laundry and various firms used to come in. Absolute madhouse Christmas Eve. But, yeah, quite good memories.